This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 17 and Franchise Hockey Manager 2, two of the top sports strategy games ever made. Out of the Park Baseball 17 still sits right atop the Metacritic rankings for PC games and is just, you know, the entire baseball universe at your fingertips, real licensed players and teams from today, as well as from the entire history of the game, major leagues and minor leagues. It's astounding how much you can do. And you can play online and you can create fantasy worlds. It's just unbelievable. So check out of the Park Baseball 17. If you use the code PRESS17, you get 10% off. So I urge you to check it out, and I guarantee that you will love it. And also go check out Franchise Hockey Manager 2. Again, the best hockey strategy game on the market. Teams from today, teams from the past. And also go make sure you check out Adam and TJ doing their thing, streaming Out of the Park Baseball 17 and Franchise Hockey Manager 2 on twitch.tv/OOTP Developments every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. for the baseball and 10 p.m. for the hockey. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
All right, so we're now 4 weeks away from the release of NBA 2K17. We have very little information on the game. It's definitely unusual that a game, especially of the magnitude of an NBA 2K, would reach a month, within a month of its release, with consumers really not knowing a whole lot of information about the game. So that's naturally led to a lot of people asking, where's the info? Why have you not shown us anything? Why have you not told us anything about the game other than pressuring us to pre-order so that we get the Dream Team and that we get extra virtual currency? Because that's the extent of the promotion essentially so far is if you don't pre-order, you're going to be an idiot. So naturally, again, people are seeking out answers, and they're doing that on social media. And that has led to, I think, just for some reason, Friday, August 19th was the day where it boiled over for some 2K representatives on Twitter who started kind of condescending remarks and taunting of people who just want information about a product that they want to spend money on. So these are the fans of the series who just want to be engaged with in a respectful way. They want to learn about what they're going to spend their money on. I don't think that's asking a whole lot. So this brings up kind of the issue of how, you know, how people are treated on social media by various publishers, and something I've been wanting to talk about for a year or longer, because there are definite trends in how EA Sports treats people or acts on social media, the way they handle their social media there. And there's ways that SCEA, Sony San Diego, handles their social media, and 2K, who handles their social media. 2K is by far, I believe, the largest in terms of pure numbers of followers on Twitter and Facebook. You know, EA has a strong representation there. Sony, San Diego is really just kind of starting to build themselves up in social media. But, you know, I was disturbed a little bit by the actions today of 2K and how they're treating people there who just want information. Rich, do you agree with me that, you know, there's something wrong with acting in that manner when you're representing the company and you're trying to sell these people on the game?
Well, I'll say this, right? And I've, you know, not to sound whatever, but I've got a perspective of this that's very
relevant.
Very relevant, right? Because with what I do for Out of the Park Baseball, running their marketing organization, and community management falls under that, and social media falls under that. So, you know, we have a very strict policy at Out of the Park Developments with how we use social media to interact with our fans. And I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. It's what I feel is the right thing to do, and that is to engage positively with all fans, and if people become abusive or negative, to take it off, right? To just not go in that direction. And so, you know, what constitutes being negative or whatever is sort of in the eyes of the beholder. It's a very difficult arena to not have problems, right? The more you interact in social media, the more opportunities you have to have interactions that could be considered negative or impolite. So it's tough, but I mean, you know, my personal opinion and the way that I conduct, you know, our organization is to be extremely positive and extremely, you know, respectful. And when things don't go in that direction, to stop the conversation.
Can I jump in on the
yes, Owen? Good.
Well, go I ahead. Think I mean there's two things at work here, Rich. What you've said is absolutely prudent advice, and it's what anyone would ever say to any publicist who is trying to sell anything. I think 2K is trying to cultivate a with it or real talk persona in its social media operation. And certainly social media has been enormous in 2K, NBA 2K's, excuse me, rise to a cultural phenomenon over the past 7 years. Mm-hmm. So it's like if you betray that and you just go, okay, well, we're only going to deal with people in a positive way, and when people start yelling at us, we're not going to respond, you know, that can seem phony. But from what you've described, you know, to me about what's going on here, it just – there doesn't seem to be any percentage in the replies that they've made. And the other thing that I think people need to understand is this. You know, 2K Games – excuse me – Visual Concepts is a studio of 2K Games, which is a subsidiary of Take-Two Interactive, which is a publicly traded company. And they move information about the products that they sell, particularly ones that sell as well as NBA 2K, on a very rigorous schedule because it affects the price of their stock and analysts and investors' expectations. So while it is reasonable for a consumer to think or to expect information about a major product, you know, further out than 4 weeks from launch date, you're not going to get it off of social media. They're not empowered to give it to you. Now, it doesn't excuse snide replies. And I might have a, I mean, you know, if I was their boss, I might go, why the hell did you do this? You know, you have a bad day at work. It's a Friday after all. But let's not sit here and scold Take-Two, 2K, VC, Ronnie, Chris for not providing actual answers. Okay. I think they are coming soon. But I don't. There is no way they're empowered to answer them on their own.
Okay, so here is why. While I agree with you absolutely on that, here is why people react a certain way on social media towards 2K. The front man there, you mentioned Ronnie, the front man there, and I have heard this. I've heard this from actual developers at 2K who are irritated by the way things are done on social media. They will take credit. The social guys will take credit for the game, but anytime there's an issue, they will deflect it onto the development team. I don't know, you probably noticed this, but every time there's something to brag about, well, they make it sound like they're involved in it.
That's a very broad statement, Brian.
Yeah.
Like, so
yeah,
every time they do that, like, that, I'm not entirely sure that that can't be completely true, right?
I mean, that I mean, Brian, look, there may be a case in the past. I mean, we know what the launch was like for 2K14, for example, mm-hmm. and what a disaster that was. And that was tied up in all sorts of other corporate prerogatives that VC did not feel responsible for. But, you know, to put all of it at the feet of marketing and publicity, I think that's leftover hard feelings from other things.
I mean, it could be. I mean, this is a perception that I've heard internally from multiple developers, and that I certainly get a sense for anytime you watch, and you know, it's hey, there's this glitch in the game. I don't deal with that. I'm just marketing, or I'm just PR. I'm just whatever it might be.
But then.
Hey, the game's great. It's like, thanks.
I mean, come on. I mean, what is the job function? Ronnie's not technical support. He's publicity.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They are really the only points of contact for consumers. And this is absolutely true. They will then say, okay, you have to go to the 2K support account or submit a request. And then people, I did that 3 weeks ago. There's no one else to go to. Right.
Well, Ron's not in the 2K support operation. He's not accountable for their follow-up.
Yeah. So this is a institutional issue then, with how the structure there, right?
Well, then they are the problem with people other than Ronnie. I mean, really, this is office politics. Let's get this back to what's really going on, which is 2K has not put out enough information to its audience to communicate that it has, a product that is as substantial as it was last year. Okay, mm-hmm. That is the anxiety that people are facing, and then when they reach out to those who usually provide that information and did so at an earlier point on the calendar in 2015. Mm-hmm. They responded in either an insubstantial and or a snide way. That to me is the problem, because I don't see the percentage in that. So, like I said, this may be a conflict in that social media managers go, well, we speak in a real way and we retweet funny things, and when Draymond Green kicks somebody in the balls, we retweet a gif of that. And that's funny, and so we have license to, send a box of tissues to somebody who's complaining about the game today, which ends up being a disrespectful thing. Okay, I understand that disconnect. I think the problem is not the internal rivalry of how the marketing and VC and publishing all interact. I think the problem is somebody just picked a stupid way to respond to something that they just should have said, well, let me put it this way, okay? I get questions all the time on Twitter, when's this review coming, okay? And I'm late with a lot of reviews. I don't answer them because I don't discuss editorial policy, procedure, deadlines, how they're edited, the review process, how much time that takes, when we get the game, anything, because that's not a conversation to which they're invited. Now, I don't disrespect them to say, I'm not talking about it with you. I just don't reply. And I think that's probably what should have happened here.
Well, we can go back years and years, and this is kind of some animosity, it seems like, on social media with the 2K series. I mean, you can go back to 2K12, I believe, the one that dropped crew mode, and they refused to just answer anybody's questions. I mean, I think one of the issues with 2K, again, in social media, is that they are the point for spreading information, but they don't do a whole lot of the information. What these 2K accounts have been built up on is just like this strategy of generating these metrics, right? It's where, hey, we're going to give out 5 codes to the 2 million people who are following us, so let's get everybody to retweet this tweet for a chance at it, and then we'll give out 5 codes that cost us nothing and reward a tiny amount of people for doing something, and then they just keep doing that, right? And that's how they get more followers, they get more retweets, and this is 2K's drive there compared to EA, where they communicate through social media, they post information, they post it too much, they post trailers 10 times, you know, on a single account, you know. And then Sony San Diego, who just posts dumb memes.
Well, you know, it's fascinating to watch, right? Because you've got different franchises that utilize social media in different ways. And I think some of it may speak to who they feel their audience is, right? So for all the issues that you have, Brian, with the way that 2K does, you know, conducts themselves, you know, in social media, it does not appear to have hurt, right? I mean, because they have been going through very difficult times at launches, as we've talked about, or when there were, you know, quote-unquote crises in the context of the game, right? And being, like, virtually assaulted through social media, they found their way through that. And, you know, what's fascinating to me more than anything, right, and not to change the topic or the subject, because I'm not, because it's all part of the discussion, is the marketing teams, you know, the way that they're conducting this. Like, it feels to me like a grand experiment in, you know, the new world that we're in, right? This is the, you know, a wildly successful sports video game in a small market with no direct sport competitor, although in immediate competitors in the other sports that release around it. And it's fascinating. Like, I gotta wonder, because Take-Two is doing well financially, relatively speaking. I mean, you know, fiscal year numbers.
See how much Grand Theft Auto still makes them every
year? That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, Grand Theft Auto.
They do well at choosing hits and funding them.
Exactly, right. They're well run. Good finances. Like, this is a year where, it, you know, maybe they are literally saying, you know what, I wonder what happens if we take this great game that, you know, we know, relatively speaking, as much as you can know, and just sort of let it sort of, you know, more speak to itself and sort of change our approach and see what impact, if any, that has. Or, right, maybe that's not, and they're just allocating dollars at different things, because we know that the WWE game that 2K is making is getting, you know, to what feels like to me a much bigger push than it typically gets. So
I gotta tell you, Rich, I mean, that's a bold experimental posture to take when you're a licensed video game.
Agreed. Yeah. I know, that's the fascinating thing. That's what I'm saying. I'm not suggesting that's what's happening, but it, the longer that it goes, and again, I mean, we all know there will be information coming out about it. We all believe, I think, that NBA 2K17 will be a spectacular game. You know, there will come a year where they can't top last year's as far as wild new features or new modes. You know, maybe it is an indication of that this game might have, quote-unquote, less than other games, or maybe it's just a different way they're approaching it. I find the whole thing fascinating.
I find it, I mean, I'm trying to search for the Occam's razor on this, and I think it's somebody had a bad day on social media. And as somebody who has had many bad days on social media, you know, it's what it looks like to me. Okay, I will give 2K and everybody there the benefit of that doubt. It doesn't mean that whatever was sent out was constructive, but I also don't think it speaks to some larger shift in how they approach dealing with a community that I still don't think that 2K, that NBA 2K is like so large that it can forsake its audience. If it did not have, first of all, if it wasn't as big a seller as it is in the physical copy, and then did not present the kind of unlimited, potentially, revenue stream that it does, Take-Two would drop it in a heartbeat. That was the only licensed title in Take-Two's catalog from, I think, 2010 until they began WWE. And that's, you know, that's because Take-Two realized that all of the costs that you pay in licensing for anything, first of all, it's what sunk THQ, and all of it is, it's just, you know, it's money out the door. And it doesn't affect the quality of the game. It just buys up, you know, prestige.
Yeah, it's like a personal seat license, you know, for your football team.
Right, yeah, great. I mean, and they share a word. So I don't think that 2K is so full of itself that it goes, we're too big to fail and we
can piss off
people on social media.
Yeah, no, I'm not suggesting that. I also think we probably tend to overvalue, you know, the value of social media, right? Like, I think probably one thousandth of the percent of the people that, you know, play NBA 2K are aware of or involved or even know, you know, what those guys are doing on social media. Yeah, they have big numbers of followers, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's social media is impossible to quantify, first of all, right? Like, you just literally don't know. They have two basically full-time social media guys, I think, right? You know, and so they've got their tone, their tenor, they got their thing they do. It seems to be working for them, right? Like, we might not particularly like all the things that they do, but, you know, we might be the old men yelling at the cloud at this stuff, too.
Well, look, okay. 2K Sports has jerked a lot of people around for a while, okay? And I've been a part of that, too. And, you know, I remember it was like 3 years ago, I think, when, you know, four years ago when NBA 2K13 was coming out. And, you know, we got it like the Friday before launch date. And I'm not saying this to go, poor me, I should have had it a week ahead because I'm special. But when IGN gets it, publishes their review on the day I get it, I'm a little pissed about that. Mm. So 2K has a history of screwing with people and not being forthright, but I don't think it has anything to do with social media. The whole thing to me is the bottom calculus is what helps them sell the soap, and that tells them whether or not they're going to answer the question, which makes this line of inquiry kind of counterproductive. I don't think they really care about the tone or the reputation that they have. They just use it as a communication channel to sell the game.
Yep.
I mean, but I don't think they have a particular sincere relationship with their users, which maybe gave them license to go off the way they did this year. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, like I kind of said earlier, people want to be engaged with consumers. These followers we're talking about are the hardcore fans, right? They're generally there's a lot of
casuals. Buy the game, by the way,
yeah, they're going to buy the game either way. But that doesn't mean
that's what we.
It doesn't mean they should get dicked with, right?
Agreed. No, of course not. I mean, you know, the way that's if nobody in the world would answer that question, yes, Brian. No, I totally agree. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not just that they're going to buy it either way. They're going to buy it, and then they're going to rave about it, and then maybe out of their 250 followers each, if four people go, hell, I'll pick up NBA, well, that's four free advertising conversions right there.
So there's potentially always a tipping point, though, right? Because no game has ever just kept growing and growing and growing. Some mistake is made along the way, whether it's a problem in development or a problem at an executive level or
there's a lot of factors. There's a lot of factors, right? Like, you know, the date, right, that this game is coming out is getting closer to the other games, right? So will that have an impact on positively or negatively on the other games? You know, how many people in September, you know, late August through, you know, mid-September are going to have to say, like, there's five games or four games or three games coming out, and I can only do one.
Going into 2014, how many Game of the Year awards did the NHL franchise at EA Sports tout on its cover? You know, I mean, you'd see it every year. It's like 20 or something.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And they laid an egg in the beginning of the console generation, and they survived it, okay?
One year. Yeah.
Well,
K16
crap. I mean, it's not like we're talking about they have to come back from a stinker.
No. And I'm not saying they die because of this, right? I'm just saying that at some point somebody makes a mistake because no game keeps growing forever. And we've seen several times games get to the top, eventually drop off. Some of them have been canceled. I mean, so
So maybe that's all this is. NBA 2K17, if it is, you know, not as dynamic as NBA 2K16 was with Spike Lee writing a career mode, if it's not as glamorous as NBA 2K14 was with, you know, Jay-Z doing the soundtrack or the Jordan Challenge or the NBA's greatest, that's fine. They can, you know, NBA 2K13 was actually kind of okay, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, didn't have a lot of calling cards in there, did they? I think the biggest piece of news on that was that Scottie Pippen wasn't going to be in the game, and then his wife yelled at him, and he reconsidered. You know, that's fine. If NBA 2K17 ends up, I don't think this is indicative of some kind of fear that they have a weak product that's going to injure the series in a long-term way. I mean, that's really kind of conspiracy talk.
Right, no, I don't think anyone's suggesting that.
You know, and in fact, last year they did have a competitor, but we know in the sales numbers...
Not really a competitor,
right,
Rich.
That's, I mean, in the sales numbers, it was an issue.
I said the word conspiracy and Siri is talking to me. I can't believe this.
You know, and this year with NBA Live out of the picture completely, at least, you know, in this launch window, you know, again, it's an opportunity for them to really see what the impact of all of these different factors is.
Well, if you guys want to dish, I mean, let's dish. I mean, what are the odds that NBA Live actually comes out on consoles? Because I'm saying that
they continue. They just had their recent financial report, quarterly report, and they continue to list it for first quarter 2017, or fourth quarter, I'm sorry, 2017, which is January through March. And I think we all agree, we think it's more likely than not that it won't release in that time period.
Yeah, question. I mean, they had a build they took down to Los Angeles in 2012 and canceled it a month before launch date. I mean, you know, what they say to investors is meaningless, especially this far out. There's no way that comes out on consoles. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. I don't understand. I don't understand why, however, they would perpetuate that kind of a fiction. What does it help them sell?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's not fiction. Maybe it's just something else, right? Or maybe.
Why the hell are you going to release an NBA game 3 months into the season?
You have no other choice. They're turning it into an ultimate team game or something different.
Yeah, it's going to be a free-to-play game, and it's going to be a companion to the mobile experience somehow. And that gets back to what I mean, which is it's not really a console product. It might appear on consoles, but nobody looks at Pro Evolution Soccer's free-to-play mode as like a real game that anybody cares about, frankly.
What's fascinating is that
demo, you know, I mean, seriously,
EA Sports, you know, the dollars that EA Sports games have been producing relative to the overall company have increased for the last couple of years as the dollars that NBA Live has contributed to the top line have basically been null. So they may be, you know, still reinvesting, you know, and in that franchise, despite what, you know, everything in front of us appears.
Or NBA Live is a useful loss leader into, you know, this again, unlimited revenue model of free-to-play, mobile.
Games are changing so quickly now, and the way that something you can deliver is a game is I would not be surprised if a very, very, very different version of whatever NBA Live was does surface in some way, shape, or form over the next year or two. It just may lay dormant while they transform it, or may not. It's just, it seems to me to be a smarter thing to do to maintain the license so long as your business allows you to do that very expensive thing.
I'm sure that they, you know, they were going to release it around All-Star Weekend, and then our wonderful General Assembly here in North Carolina passed HB 2, and now EA Sports is scrambling to change it over to New Orleans, and that's why the delay. Right.
So one other factor I wanted to mention, I'm curious to see what you think plays into the social media stuff, is EA allows their developers to have personal Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
So people have access to the actual developers. 2K, Sony San Diego do not. So once again, I mean, that kind of goes back to, these are the point people for the product. That's where everybody goes to try and get answers. Well, generally not getting them.
That's not exactly true, because I know I follow a couple of guys out of 2K that do have personal Twitter, but they're not prolific. But
yeah, I mean, like, yeah, they do have accounts, but they're not really allowed to represent the game there. I mean, like Mike Wang, lead designer, I believe, or creative director, I don't remember which. He has a Twitter account, hasn't used it in 3 months.
Okay, fair enough.
So yeah, I mean, like, Dazar does, but he's not allowed to talk about the game yet. So I think it's more.
Well, Dazar was talking in an oblique way. This I did notice this today as I was trying to write this Madden review, was, you know, him talking about, you know, the panic and anxiety in the streets over what has not been said or what is being said, or these so-called leaked videos out of Gamescom. You know, he's not exactly quiet on the subject.
Yeah. Well, I think there's probably a sense of frustration from the actual developers who have worked their asses off for the last year and have, you know, put a lot of their time and effort into doing some really, you know, really good things that they want to share with people, and still have not been allowed to do. So I'm sure they're sitting there probably, you know, waiting just like everybody else is, because they don't have the freedom to talk about any of it. I think that's just unfortunate for them also.
Well, a lot of these guys have been very vocal in the past, and I'm sure they will be very vocal in the future. And, you know, I'm not comparing Out of the Park Developments to 2K, right? Their budgets are I'm sure they are literally one millionth of a percentage. I mean, our stuff is you know, just minuscule. Yeah. It's a rounding error on Take-Two's spreadsheet is what our budget is compared to theirs. However, there is still, you know, things that we're working on for Franchise Hockey Manager 2 that are incredibly exciting, and I'm not talking about them, and, you know, Adam's not talking about them on our personal social media accounts or anything like that, for the same reason that Scott O'Gallagher, great friend of the show, Dazar, who's been on the show, Leftosa, like, these guys are all very active, have been very active in the community, doing their own podcasts and stuff. Like, it's just that time where it's not gonna they're not gonna be in a position to talk about that, but nobody else would either in that position as well. The social media guys are different, right? We're talking about developers on our personal account, on their personal accounts, right? And versus the social media guys who are literally representing 2K as social media. And, you know, their structure, like to what Owen said earlier, it's different. Social media is different than the development team. The development team is different than the customer support team. And, yes, from personal experience, I recognize that it can be very difficult sometimes when you get people saying, hey, I have this ticket number, can you connect me? And TJ doesn't run the ticket system, doesn't have access to the ticket system. He gets in touch with the technical support guys at a small little company. Like, literally, we operate with a lot of this stuff at a tiny scale, but the same kind of thing. But we, as a developer, probably could do a better job of letting people know how to access information from the right channel. 2K could, sounds like, stand to do a little bit of that too.
Can I just break in here to say I have had my scrapes with 2K Sports on a publishing level. I have had my scrapes with them. VC, absolute top of the line, always shot straight. Eric Bainish, Rob Jones, Mike Wang, Scott O'Gallagher, Dazar, those guys. I mean, it's not to say, you know, EA Tiburon, who I've dealt with a lot, same way down the line. Lots of guys who, if they couldn't say something to me, would at least say, hey, I can't say something to you. You know, they didn't treat you like an idiot for asking. But mm-hmm. but VC was always has been, to me at least, a cut above. And the sincerity in the work that they do and what they want to do with it has always been apparent to me. And it's like I was telling Sumit Sarkar earlier this week, because he had an interview scheduled with one of the VC guys. And I said, you can put them off guard because they will answer honestly. And, you know, that's like a real rare thing when you're talking about product journalism. It's like to get somebody who gives you an unscripted answer that they actually don't want to give. And it's because the visual concepts guys actually care enough that they will answer honestly despite themselves. It's happened to me numerous times. And I want to say that about them. I think very highly of all the names that I have just said to you.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, we're talking about specific situations with specific people necessarily. There's a lot of people behind the scenes who have nothing to do with any of this, and handle themselves professionally, and you know, they just don't get the spotlight for that necessarily. And usually you're in the spotlight for doing bad things. when you act poorly or whatever, that's when attention gets shown on you. So people who avoid it, generally they're doing things the right way. So absolutely don't want any thought of everybody falling under this umbrella we were talking about. So, you know, I just think the info on NBA 2K17, that's going to come and probably very soon. But the relationship with these publishers and the community, that's ever evolving. And we'll just have to continue to kind of monitor the way that is handled and what effect, if any, that has on how games grow or fail to grow. So thanks, Rich Grisham, Out of the Park Developments, and Owen Good, Polygon, for coming on to talk about this in this kind of Press Row podcast extra.
Sure.
So, yeah, thanks, everyone, for listening. Take care.